You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Yesterday marked the very first State of the State speech from our state's new governor, Brad Little. The speech had a really heavy focus on education while also dealing with some issues from 2018. And there were three big topics included: Medicaid expansion, prison overcrowding, and the grocery tax. With me to break down the governor's speech is our own reporter, James Dawson. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, good to be here, Gemma.
You were there for the speech yesterday. So let's start with Medicaid expansion. How did the governor propose paying for Idaho's share of this initiative? Because voters passed this in November, and he said during his speech, like, he is going to do the will of the people.
Right, at least by paying for it. Mm-hmm. Whether or not he adds work requirements or something else is, you know, still up to the state legislature and him. But as for paying for it, you're right. So he wants to, at least in his proposed budget, pay for it without any general fund money. So no tax dollar, you know, taxpayer dollars going to it. About half of the $20 million would come from the Millennium Fund, which typically pays for, teen anti-smoking ads or smoking cessation programs, things like that. And then the rest is expected to come from savings to other state programs within the prisons and Department of Health and Welfare.
So the folks behind the push to expand Medicaid, they actually held their own news conference yesterday, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And I gather they're hoping that the legislature acts sooner rather than later when it comes to funding this. I mean, especially because we have a deficit when it comes to our budget right now.
Not quite a deficit. They're just kind of waiting and seeing what kind of revenue is coming.
Right. They're concerned about this personal income tax revenue coming in.
Exactly. With the federal overhaul and then the state overhaul last year on personal income taxes, they're just kind of riding it out, seeing where they are. They want it. Advocates for Medicaid expansion want it done sooner rather than later. Department of Health and Welfare has a February 18th deadline to send their plans to the federal government. And if all things go smoothly, you know, depending on whether they do add work requirements or not, enrollment could be available by November for January next year for that program to go in place. But something interesting when I was listening to budget hearings this morning was that any extra requirements, administrative costs associated with implementing work requirements or something like that, that may be fully paid for by the state.
Really?
Yes.
So they are already talking about this then in those budget committee meetings.
Day two.
And this is the topic of conversation.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So Governor Little also talked about education and really a big push for education, including more money for teachers. I mean, wanting starting pay at $40,000. But tell me about his vision that he has for K through 12, because he talked about a task force of some sort, correct?
Yeah. So this is a hallmark priority, $106 million increase over current education spending. Like you mentioned, doubling the money for literacy proficiency, and that's making sure kids read at grade level by third grade. Let's see. So task force that you mentioned, he would establish one to develop a new plan on where to invest education money. As for his vision, you know, he's kind of seeing this from a holistic standpoint, where if we can get kids educated properly through our school systems, whether, you know, homeschool, private school, or public school, then these kids will be much more, they will contribute to society more, whether that's economically or through society. They may stay out of prisons more. They'll probably be more healthy, all sorts of things. So that's where he's focusing a lot of money, raising teacher pay to $40,000, like you mentioned, adding extra money to try and retain experienced teachers as well. And as for literacy, I believe we do have a cut of him talking about that yesterday.
They will choose from a variety of proven intervention methods, such as full-day kindergarten, reading coaches, summer reading programs.
Yeah, and this was what he's talking about there is all of that literacy money that he kind of set aside. Schools could use that for, like you said, all-day kindergarten, things like that. But they couldn't necessarily use it for pre-K programs.
Okay, I was just going to ask you about that. Did he mention pre-K?
Not in the speech. We asked him about it afterwards at a press conference, and we asked his Department of Finance administrator about that as well. And he said that that was a conversation that they had to have pretty much. So it seems like it's a priority. It's a priority for the Democrats, but we'll see if it comes up in this legislative session.
And it does seem that Governor Little's education plan is different than former Governor Butch Otter. There seems to be a different tone. Is that accurate in thinking that?
I'd say so. They do both prefer to leave as much as possible things up to local control for local school districts. But Little wants to really stop this sort of drain of Idaho kids who leave because there are other opportunities. And he says education is a big part of that.
I'm speaking with our James Dawson. He was at Governor Little's first State of the State address yesterday, and we're talking about breaking that down. And James, let's talk about prison overcrowding. This is a huge issue. We have talked about this right here in Idaho Matters. You have covered it. We know that the Board of Correction wants a $500 million new prison. Governor Otter, didn't advocate for that kind of money, right? Tell me about what he talked about in that. And I know we have a soundbite from him as well.
We do. So Governor Little, he did not put that in his proposed budget, but instead he wants to add 220 beds split between a reentry center in North Idaho and the St. Anthony Work Camp in Eastern Idaho. He wants to hire more probation and parole officers, make more use of drug courts, diversion programs, really to try and help people once they are in prison, when they get released, to be productive members of society.
To not have a recidivism rate.
Exactly. Try and lower that at least a little bit. I know a lot of states have a problem with that. But he also wants to try and stem the tide of people addicted to opiates as well that may, they may commit crimes to either purchase the drugs or get the drugs themselves. And he also mentioned the need for one or two mental health facilities to free up prison space in the future. That is not included in this budget, but it's something to look forward to in the future. And it really speaks to his overall vision for criminal justice.
We must hold those who violate our laws accountable, but we also must invest in changing their behavior so our communities will be safer once offenders pay their debt to society.
So this seems, Jimmy, to go more towards this idea of justice reinvestment when they've been talking about criminal justice, and we have legislators who are trying to change some of that, trying to change things like mandatory minimums. Mm-hmm. And that kind of sounded a little bit more going that direction.
Yeah. And, you know, if you remember last year, the House did pass a mandatory minimum bill for certain offenses that would have taken them out. That did not even get a hearing in the Senate. So there's still some opposition to that sort of pathway. When I talked to Speaker Bedke, Scott Bedke, yesterday, too, he said that as for the prison, he's like, well, I think we're going to need one in the future, so maybe we should start saving for one now.
Oh, interesting. Let's talk about the grocery tax, because this was something that when Governor Little was running for governor, he talked quite a bit about wanting to get rid of this grocery tax. And what were his thoughts on that?
Oh, well, he still wants to. It's just that he doesn't think that there's enough money coming in right now, at least for sure, to do that this year. So he wants to do it next year. Like we talked about at the top, with the personal income tax revenues being a little dicey, they expect all of it to come in, but they just don't want to spend money they don't have.
And it may not come in until after the session is over.
Exactly. So they don't want to budget for anything like that. I mean, he's leaving $260 million in reserve split between this current year and the next fiscal year to try and smooth out anything that might happen and to pay for the eventual repeal of the grocery tax as well.
So talk to me about what he said. I thought this was interesting about how we look at the money that we have in Idaho, lean years versus good years.
Yeah, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but let's hear from him.
I think we have a cut for that. And if we don't, he basically said it's when you are in the lean years, it's not about what you do during the good years. It's about what you do with your money in the years when maybe you don't have as much money.
Though we are confident In true Idaho fashion, we will not spend money that's not in the bank.
I think that's interesting. So you don't spend money that's not in the bank. But there was a little bit more to that after, because this came from something that, what, Speaker Bedke's grandfather?
Yeah, he's quoting Speaker Bedke's grandpa, and he turned to him and saying, I said that right? And Speaker Bedke said, we'll see.
And then a little bit of laughter after that, right?
Exactly.
But that does go back to this idea then of not knowing if there is this money coming in for the budget. So did he address that directly?
Oh, absolutely. And I saw a press release from the Idaho Tax Commission today. He immediately ordered them to try and inform taxpayers, hey, you might not be withholding enough money. Your paycheck's bigger, but maybe that's some tax that you actually owe. Mm. So they're trying to get the education message out to say, or so people don't get hit with a surprise tax bill when they do file their taxes.
So bottom line, what would you say the feel was, the vibe was during the State of the State, and then after? Because this was a big moment for a new governor and having a change after 12 years.
Mm-hmm. I'd say it's optimistic. I mean, he tried to build the message that Idaho's wages are growing, the economy is doing well, we have low unemployment. These companies, he cited, you know, three or four companies across the state that are doing pretty well and being innovative in whatever field that they might be in. And it seems like Republicans really want to work with them. Democrats even kind of want to work with them. They were generally happy in their response. They did want to hear more on infrastructure, LGBTQ and migrant worker issues, which they plan to bring legislation on later this year. But, they were talking about, we like your education things, or education platform, although we might have some differences. But generally, I mean, it seems like this is kind of going to be less adversarial than maybe we've seen in the past.
So kind of not business as usual, because there's been this overriding, I think, question about will Little be just a continuation of Governor Otter's years in office?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think he's very aware of that. It gets brought up at press conferences and has during the campaign trail this whole couple years that he was running, right? So he's very cognizant of that. He seems to want to make his mark early. And he gave a shout out to Governor Otter in his State of the State address. But then he said, but I don't want to reminisce about the past. I want to look toward the future.
I want to thank you for coming in today. Our reporter, James Dawson, he covered the Governor's State of the State address yesterday. I'm sure we'll have you back in, since you will be covering the legislature this session.
Always happy to be here, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate it.